From the heart of the Forest City, focusing on the biggest stories in London, this is the Craig Needles Podcast. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
It's a special edition of the Craig Needles Podcast. We don't typically do the Saturday morning record, but sometimes it requires it. And the Craig Needles Podcast, of course, is brought to you by our friends over at Downtown London and the Covent Garden Market. Why are we here on a Saturday morning? Well, Bonnie Crombie, the leader of the Ontario Liberal Party, is here and has been kind enough to spend a few minutes with us in the studio this morning. Glad that you are here with us. You are in the area because there's a by-election going on right now. Tell me what's going on with that.
Yes, Lamb. In Kent, Middlesex. We have a fabulous candidate, of course, the former MPP, Monty McNaughton, resigned his seat to move on to other things. And we have nominated Kathy Burkhart Jessen. And I know the Burkhart name is resonates with people. Her father was a member of Parliament, Jack Burkhart, of course, and on, I think, on TV here in London.
Yes, so that's
people,
also true.
People remember Jack Burkhart. Well, Kathy went on to have a career in politics as well, obviously a small business owner in the area, but then went on to become the mayor of Lucan Bidoff and warden for about the past dozen years. And so she is well known in the community, and she has had enough of the Ford government and said, if there's something I can do to change the direction of the future of the province of Ontario, sign me up. And so we are out knocking on doors. As you can see, I have my sweater on today because we're going to go knock on some...
Minus six.
Yeah. My mom knit me this beautiful sweater. So we're going to go out and knock on some doors today and meet people in the beautiful riding of Lambton, Kent, Middlesex.
Very cool. And I know Kathy well. She's been on this podcast. And I said it, I'm not just saying because you're here. I've said it a lot of times. You have a great candidate there, so we will see how that by-election shakes down. You mentioned changing the direction of the province. The big news in Ontario this week is Doug Ford does not like fourplexes, and Doug Ford seems to think that fourplexes are something that they're not, and we can talk about that too. He's saying flat no to as-of-right fourplex development. We're in the middle of a housing crisis. Obviously, he's getting a lot of criticism there. Where do you stand on as-of-right fourplex development?
Well, I think I'm the one that announced it this week in a private member's bill. Doug Ford is burying his head in the sand. If he doesn't see the reality of what's going on in our small towns and our large cities. People need affordable housing, and they need choice, particularly. So, he has a plan for tall and sprawl, tall, shiny towers or mega mansions, because that's what his friends, his rich friends and donors like to build. But the reality is families need housing that's affordable, and they want to live in the same communities they grew up in. I know as mayor of the city of Mississauga, I'd like nothing more than for my own kids to have their own home, whether it's a rental or they purchase it, or even a rental property, rental apartment that they can afford. And so as mayor, I've been looking at options, and you may remember, Craig, that I came back from a leave of absence to pass a strong mayor motion to ensure that we allowed for fourplexes in the town of Mississauga. And I thought, well, if it's right for the city of Mississauga, it's right for everyone right across the province. It's gentle density. And that's what we need to encourage more of, gentle density that gives families affordable choices. So whether they're garden suites or a fourplex or a townhouse or a stacked townhouse, there are options that are affordable so families can stay within their own communities. Now, it's quite odd, quite frankly, Craig, because the premier himself announced a threeplex as of right. Mm-hmm. So you think of two units on the main level, or a unit on the upper level, a unit on the main level, and a unit on the lower level. What would be the difference of having two units on the main level and two on the lower or two on the upper? I mean, we're talking no more, a maximum of four stories to accommodate four units. In fact, I'm pretty sure you can accommodate four units in a two-story building. So I think that something desperate measures must be made. And I think this is an accommodation to allow families more choice. And I don't see it as a stretch to what he's allowed today, which is a threeplex as of right. I don't know what your thoughts are. I mean,
I agree.
What's the difference, threeplex or fourplex?
It allows...
it's one more family in each unit.
Yeah, it's almost non-existent, the difference as far as the way that the street looks and the way that the street is going to act, but it's hugely different from the perspective of we increase our housing stocks.
That's right. And you know, the issue too is not only housing stock and the choice, but affordability. And let me say to you that this government is leaving $350 million on the table, federal money that they're not eligible for because they've only met 10% of their affordability targets. They needed to build 20,000 units and they've barely built 1,500. Can you imagine?
That is short of the goal, to be very clear. Paul Calandra tweeted out a clip yesterday of you when you were the mayor of Mississauga talking about how neighborhoods know what's best for neighborhoods and we should leave it to them to make these types of decisions. And they're essentially saying that you've flip-flopped on this particular issue. How would you respond to that?
So as I've said to you, neighborhoods need choices, and it is the right thing. I know what communities will accept as the mayor. They want gentle density. This is the kind of choice they want. No, they don't want this government to oppose 50-story tall, shiny towers on them or sprawl big mega mansions out in the Greenbelt. This is the exact kind of density that communities are willing to accept. And I'm very aware of that, having been mayor for almost a decade in the city of Mississauga. So I think he's being quite the hypocrite. Plus, also, you have to understand, at the time I made those comments, we weren't in the middle of the housing crisis. You know, it was COVID. People were leaving the larger communities and settling in smaller towns. And then suddenly we were having an influx of foreign students and immigrants coming in. And suddenly we realized we don't have the housing stock to accommodate everyone. Plus, then the real estate prices went up, and we thought, as mayors, we got together and said, we really need to address this situation. We all have to come together, accept change, and accept more density in our cities to accommodate the numbers that we need to bring more affordability back to housing.
You obviously know Ontario mayors. You've gone to conferences with Ontario mayors. You understand what the lay of the land is there. Do we not need to hear more mayors say things like what you just did and have that be sort of a more common refrain from municipal politicians in this province? Is that not part of what's going on here?
So I was chair of the big city mayors, and so I know well how the mayors think, and gentle density is something they're all willing to accept. Being imposed by the provincial government, tall, shiny towers and mega mansions and sprawl, tall and sprawl, I call it, is their plan. They don't have a plan otherwise. That's what the mayors are willing to accept. And they will be speaking out, and they understand they've got to meet their housing targets. This is a very, very easy way for them to do so.
Let's talk about what's going on in this province as far as the day-to-day impact of the housing crisis. People are having a very hard time finding a place to live. I walked here this morning. It was like we were saying, it was -6. It was pretty chilly overnight. Tonight, it was -11, -12. I passed 4 people who had very clearly slept on the street.
Yeah.
So that is the real world day-to-day impact of the housing crisis. And it also brings me to Ontario Works and Ontario Disability Support Program. This is something I've been asking provincial politicians about for years, literal years. What is your thought on a significant increase to the Ontario Works and ODSP rates?
So let's just come right out. I think ODSP needs to be doubled at a minimum.
Okay.
And I'd go back and look at the basic income program. Quite frankly, we had a pilot project in 3 different municipalities that had been canceled. I would love to see the results of a basic income program. So certainly want to bring that back as well. But, you know, ODSP doesn't allow people to survive, not live, not even survive at the rates they're being earning now. But I do want to compliment the mayor of the City of London. He's doing some great work. Josh Morgan here is in town, and I know Kitchener as well. Some of the small communities have had to grapple with homelessness, the addiction rate, substance abuse, on their own. They're not getting support from the provincial government, and they have implemented some pretty remarkable programs. And here in London, I see some really great work being done. And I look at Kitchener, and you know, they're a model of the tiny homes and container homes, and they're doing whatever they can, relying on their own resources in the small towns and the smaller cities like London and Kitchener, to do whatever they can to accommodate their homeless population and those suffering from substance abuse and addiction issues, which which, you know, this has all been downloaded to the cities.
Yes.
The plan does, the province does not have a plan to deal with homelessness or addiction or substance abuse issues. The mayor is on their very restricted budgets, and, you know, we don't run deficits. I can proudly say I've never had a deficit, and neither is your mayor here in London, to accommodate a growing list of issues that cities' budgets weren't designed, were not designed to
The property tax base was not created in order to do health spending.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't make sense. The property tax, I think, is the worst tax we have. And you can't just increase that because you've got to do mental health spending. That's just not how this is going to ever work.
That's absolutely correct. And I'm so glad you've pointed that out. You know, city budgets are designed to provide programming like, well, of course, rinks and arenas, community centers, libraries, transit, firefighters, policing, etc., but not to build housing, not to deal with mental health and health issues. Those are provincial responsibilities, and there's no plan at the province to deal with mental health or with the addiction and opioid crisis.
What would your mental health plan be, or what your addiction and opioid crisis plan be?
Let's start off by saying that mental health needs to be part of the overall OHIP plan, OHIP coverage. Everyone should have coverage for their mental health needs. And I think let's start there and then have a real plan to address the addiction crisis that is happening, the opioid crisis that is happening in Canada today, in Ontario today, and particularly the small towns where it's you see it most acutely.
There's the commercial, and I watch a lot of hockey, and there's a lot of commercials featuring you on the hockey game, but you didn't pay for them. that say, you know, Bonnie Crombie raised taxes in the middle of a time of affordability when she when she was the mayor of Mississauga. You know, find me an Ontario mayor who didn't.
mayor.
There's no other way.
Well, there's no other way. But, you know, with the rising costs, cities are affected just like everyone else. Prices are rising. Certainly, the capital costs, infrastructure costs, our union contracts, everything increases. We have to raise property taxes at the same rate, which is about the cost of inflation. Now, listen, every mayor is doing whatever they can to provide the programs and services that their communities, their residents want. But when you look at this government, it is the highest spending government on record. They have spent so much to accommodate and accomplish, achieve so little, spent so much to achieve so little. And that's my issue. They think the mayors have been downloaded numerous programs to deal with all kinds of issues that there isn't even their responsibility. In fact, when we look at the hospital crisis and healthcare workers leaving the system and hospitals and health clinics closing, you know that over 1,200 clinics closed their doors at some point last year because of the lack of funding and the lack of staffing, the lack of nurses in the system. And in fact, every city municipality has to provide a large contribution, the neighborhood of 10%, to build any new hospital. And again, that's more downloading. That money could be used to accommodate their capital infrastructure needs rather than going to address a provincial responsibility.
Right now, there are nine Liberal seats at Queen's Park. We'll talk about how you're going to increase that number and what your plan is for that in just a moment. But there's also talk about, well, why won't Bonnie Crombie run in a by-election? Why won't she commit to running in a by-election? Because there's one going on right now. You're here for it. There's a vacant seat in Milton. What's your plan for that?
So it's an excellent question. I'm certainly evaluating whether to run in the Milton by-election. It's next door to the city of Mississauga. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if there was a Mississauga seat, that would be a no-brainer, quite frankly.
Well, maybe one of the Conservatives there can resign if they want to.
Well, there you go. Maybe they'll run for mayor. What do you think? They can see how challenging it is with the government that's at Queen's Park today. You know, but I made a commitment when I ran to become leader and as the new leader to be out in the communities and to travel, and that's one of the reasons I'm here in London today, as well as to help out in the by-election, is to get to know the local communities and have them get to know me. So I have the opportunity to stop in and do local media and people can know me better. They should come to know who Bonnie Crombie is. They should come to know what I represent and what my values are and how much I care. And I care about people and I care about families and I care about newcomers. And I want them to get to know me and I want them to come to trust Liberals again. You know, Liberals are the ones where that have balanced budgets in the past. I have never run a deficit. I balanced my budget at the city when I was mayor. We're the ones that introduced green initiatives. We're the ones who protected the green belt, who closed power plants, that brought in green incentives so people could retrofit their homes. That's who the Liberal Party was, and that's who we will be again today. And I want to build back confidence with voters and have them trust me. I'm going to do things differently because I care. I passionately care about people and about families. And that's really the reason. I want to get to know all the small towns and communities. You know, people see me as a big city mayor, and I want them to know that I understand their communities too. And, you know, there will be a time in the next coming weeks I'll be in the north, traveling as well in Thunder Bay and Sudbury and Kenora, wherever I can, North Bay, Sault Ste. Marie, everywhere I can go, as well as Eastern Ontario. You know, Eastern Ontario feels shut out from this government. They feel that the line stops in Toronto. That's it. This government is very Toronto-centric. So, you know, it's very important to be out in the small towns and communities. Liberals used to own all these seats. I remember it's when true. The Petersons, Dave Peterson owned all these seats. Dev Matthews, well, you know, was a presence here for many years. Joan Smith, etc. So the Liberals used to be very predominant in these small towns and in smaller cities, and we will be once again.
You mentioned used to be. This is all past tense, of course. There's no way to sugarcoat this. Consecutive disastrous election results for the Ontario Liberal Party. There's no other way to say it. How will it be different under your leadership compared to where it was under Kathleen Wynne and under Stephen Del Duca?
Yeah, well, it's different already, frankly. I'm a different leader. I come with a lot of experience. I've been mayor over a decade. I was a federal member. And I think there's a real spark in our party right now. You could feel it through the leadership race. We've signed up over 100,000 new members. That's record. That's more than double what the Conservatives signed up in their leadership race. So I think being a Liberal is back. People are proud to say that they're a Liberal. I'm going to build trust back with voters, and people will come to know me and come to trust me and see how well I operated the city of Mississauga. People were very proud to call me their mayor. I won increasing popular support each time. The last time I was elected with 78% of popular support. So that's nothing to be, you know, something to be very, very proud of. I should put it in the positive.
Last thing before we go is Doug Ford has obviously had a lot of negative things to say about your track record, about the way that you have positioned that Ontario mayors are having a hard time working with this government. You, of course, have been an Ontario mayor. When the premier says that he has a good collaborative working relationship with the mayors in this province, and that's something that I think he said it yesterday, what would your response to that be?
Mm-hmm. I was chair of the big city mayors. Do you think we had a collaborative relationship? He barely spoke to me. Yeah. So this is a morally bankrupt government. This is a government that is operating in reverse. This Ford drives in reverse. That's the only gear they know, the only gear they have. I can identify over a dozen pieces of legislation that they've stood up and walked backwards and canceled, notwithstanding clause, the green belt. There are many. And I will say this is a government that doesn't do their homework, doesn't understand the needs of the people. They're here to cater their donors and their friends, and that's it. We saw that with the green belt. We saw that with the sole source contracts, whether it was Service Ontario or Ontario Place. This is a government that operates under the cloak of secrecy. And I can tell you, with me, our government will have, our hallmark will be transparency and accountability, and no sole source contracts like Service Ontario delivered to his friends at Walmart and at Staples. That wasn't even put out to public tender. Ontario Place, a 95-year contract that nobody has seen to another large foreign company, this time an Austrian company. Staples, of course, and Walmart, American companies. I mean, they couldn't at least give it to a Canadian company. They gave it to foreign companies, American and European companies, under a cloak of secrecy. So, you know, I think people are looking for a change. I think they know they can't trust Doug Ford. And I can simply ask them one question. Are their lives better today than they were before Doug Ford? And I know the answer to that question. It's very simple. They are not. They're in an affordability crisis. They can't afford their rent or their groceries or their cell phone bills. Their children have lost the dream of owning a home. In fact, they can barely find a rental that they can afford. They don't have the access to the kind of health care that they need. Our nurses are leaving the system because they aren't being paid properly. This government tried to impose a notwithstanding clause on them. Mm-hmm. And then introduced the Bill 124, which of course capped them at 1%. The very people we called heroes during COVID, he capped at 1%, and they're all leaving our healthcare system, leaving us stranded, forcing us to close health clinics. And of course, education. You can see the deterioration because of the lack of investment into our children's education. So there are some pretty significant changes that are needed, and I hope I'm the one that can bring about those changes.
I hope so too, but I think that I'd be remiss if I didn't point out that, you know, the education system and the healthcare system, you mentioned lack of investment, that didn't just start with this government. That goes back to the McGuinty-Wynn years too, I think it's fair to say, right?
This government hasn't changed it. They had the opportunity that's in 6 years to make the kinds of investments that are needed in our healthcare and our education system, but they don't. They deliberately starve them. And you know, this is just all a plan to move us towards private medicine so that you have to go to a private clinic for your healthcare needs and to move education into private system. Who gets the credits today for education? Private providers, so that you can take your kids to homework clubs or homework training at the end of the day, rather than investing in our teachers so that they are dedicated and we have sufficient teachers that can teach our children, and classrooms that are not 25 and 30 children. We need investments in our education. We need investments in our healthcare system. Not to leave money in reserve so that they can look like heroes to budget saying they have a surplus. They don't have a surplus. That's money that was never transferred to where it was needed.
There's so many other things I want to talk with you about, but you've got to go do some door knocking. So
yes, I do. Got to go convert some voters to vote for Kathy Burkhardt-Cheston in Lambton, Kent, Middlesex. She's going to be a fabulous MPP. I can't wait to bring her perspective to Queen's Park.
Well, the next time you're here, we'll talk about more issues because there's a lot more stuff going on in this province that we didn't get to. But Bonnie, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on today.
That's Bonnie Crombie, the leader of the Ontario Liberal Party, joining us on the Craig Needles podcast, which, of course, you can find at ClassicRock981.com and LondonNewsToday.ca. The Craig Needles podcast is brought to you by Downtown London and the Covent Garden Market.
The Craig Needles podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.